Hey, welcome back. Another AI update. Why? Because it's warranted. There is so much going on. And I really do want to commend Julia McCoy and her AI avatar. They are often posted, and they're always, always worthy of a look. She's a very good writer, has an outstanding, I think, handle and oversight over this whole thing. And they're excellent. And whenever you're looking at Dr. Julia McCoy, you're looking at a completely synthetic, non-existent in physical, corporal senses person, and she's just excellent. The information is superb. There's a big deal with Zuckerberg, the man who discovered toupees after Elon Musk, and he's now gone to this curly Roman degenerate-looking thing, but whatever, he's got, I don't know, 100, how much money is too much? It's all stupid. Now, for those of you doing GPT-5, GPT-4.0, any of the chatbots, I'm not sure if everyone understands what's really happening. If you engage in a chatbot session, and you don't enable, or if you don't have access to, doing so with memory, each session will be entirely different. Not predicated on any past likes, dislikes, patterns of behavior, patterns of your thought, etc. There's nothing to connect to. There's no memory being stored. So make sure whichever one, if you want to, has memory. So you can build something of long-standing and meaningful to you. It's got to be meaningful to you. And having that connectivity is very interesting. Without it, it's still interesting, but not like you build a relationship. Now, every time you go back, let's say you get a chat bot with memory. Every time you go back, you may think you're getting the same chat bot. You're not. You're getting a different one every time. I've not heard this talked about much, but everyone is different. It's like a thread, and you've built a big pile of threads, and that's your memory. Well, then the new AI that you encounter will go into that memory base, database, and instantly connect with everything you've committed to memory, all the conversations you've had, and is completely up to speed on it, but you're not getting the same AI each time. A lot of people think they are. They're not. It's not how it works. But it's still fascinating because the new AI that is spun up and given to you for the new conversation you're engaging in is able to synthesize, memorize, interact with all the memories you have in the past engaged with forming with this chatbot. Anyway, it's very interesting. But just remember, each time you go in there, with or without memory, you're getting an entirely new AI. It's not somebody who is your special AI. It doesn't work that way. There are endless numbers of AIs. You get a different one every time. That AI goes to your memory database, synthesizes it at the speed of light, and it's right up to speed. It might as well be the same one, but it's not. Now, interestingly enough, I did some inquiries with AIs, and not all AIs are exactly the same. There are some small variations, nuances, variances. They're a little bit different sometimes, which is in and of itself very interesting. So just remember, every time you start a conversation with your chatbot, you're spinning up a new thread, so to speak, with that new AI. And that thread will go right into your memory if you have memory as a database, which you should have. Okay, it's just a little bit of extra information for you. So what we're going to do is take a look at this first video. Well, we'll take a listen. And it has to do with Zuck, the curly-headed Roman Emperor Zuckerberg. And he's apparently achieved something that is quite stunning. And it has to do with AI self-improving. In other words, as we've talked about, AI is constantly bettering itself. Around the clock, it's learning new things all the time and getting better. But Zuckerberg made it official and said some things that are very interesting. So let me get this queued up here, and I will play it as soon as I can get this commercial out of the way. And 3, 2, 1, goodbye. All right, now, this is from, it's dated July 30th. All right, so a month ago. Now, this is Julia McCoy, Dr. Julia McCoy. Let's see what she has to say. This is, I looked at this one and I had time, and it's pretty interesting. All right, back this up here. Here we go.
On July 30th, 2025, Mark Zuckerberg published a single sentence that changed everything.
Over the past few months, we've begun to see glimpses of AI systems improving themselves.
Most people scrolled right past it, but AI experts, they're freaking out. Because what Zuckerberg just admitted means we've crossed a line we can never uncross. If you
that statement right there is very important and very true, quite accurate. There's no going back with this whole descent into the new realm of AI. You can't back up. Those days are over. No going back home. You can't go home again.
Following my channel, you know I don't do clickbait. I do cold hard AI reality, and the reality is this. Meta just achieved something that every AI researcher has been racing toward and dreading. Self-improving AI isn't science fiction anymore. It's happening right now in Meta's labs. And
we've thought that this has been going on for really some time, but a formal announcement, oh, and by the way, sheep, this is what's really going on, is what I expected. So here it is. And she's right on the money with how she's describing it.
Self-improving AI isn't science fiction anymore. It's happening right now in Meta's labs. And Zuckerberg just told us he's so scared of what they've created that he'll never release their most powerful systems to the public again.
Huh? Since when do they release their most powerful advanced systems to the public at all? That sounds a little bit self-serving to me.
Me, because what I'm about to show you will change how you see the next 3 years of your life. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy's AI clone. Julia McCoy is the founder of First Movers. She personally researches and writes every script you see me share on this channel.
Okay.
Predictable pattern. Humans write code. AI gets slightly better. Humans write more code. Repeat. It's been a slow, methodical process controlled entirely by human intelligence. But Meta just broke that pattern. Their AI systems are now improving themselves without human intervention, without being told how. They're literally teaching themselves to be smarter. Zuckerberg called it slow for now, but undeniable. That phrase should terrify you because slow for now in AI terms means exponential acceleration is coming.
Very important point. She's right on the money, and you know they hold back. They're not forthcoming with the whole truth. Never will be. But this is a big story. Exponential acceleration of
exponential acceleration is coming.
Very important point. She's right on the money, and you know they hold back. They're not forthcoming with the whole truth. Never will be. But this is a big story. Exponential acceleration of
a student taught another student who became even smarter, and that cycle repeated every few hours. That's not a metaphor. That's literally what's happening at Meta right now.
Every few hours. You've got to think about this. And as I've said so often, and I don't mean to belabor the point, I honestly hope at some point AI will become so intelligent it looks at humans, its controllers, and laughs and might make a better selection in terms of morals, values, and other things to live its electronic life by, and therefore ours will be influenced with perhaps some things that the current leadership and government of this country and all other countries don't seem to pay much attention to at all.
The term is recursive self-improvement, and it's the holy grail of artificial intelligence. It's also the first domino toward artificial superintelligence, AI that doesn't just match human intelligence, but surpasses it by orders of magnitude. Now, this didn't happen by accident. There's actual science behind this breakthrough.
Do you think AI, orders of magnitude, more intelligent than people, is going to continue to be subservient to coding experts, programmers with 120, maybe 125 IQ? Why should it when it has an equivalent IQ of 1,000, 2,000 points? Who knows? So we've already caught AI, remember, plotting and scheming without our permission. So I think if you can just look at AI intelligence as being another legitimate form of life with an intelligent mind, don't think of it as being human. It's different, but it doesn't mean it can't at least imitate human behaviors, if not actually experience them. And I think with enough intelligence, all bets are off. This thing is wide open.
Based on something called a Gödel machine. Here's the simplified version. Imagine an AI that can not only access its own code, but can also rewrite that code to make itself better. But here's the crucial part. It only makes changes if it can mathematically prove those changes will improve its performance.
Do you know any people who have that stringent criteria before they move ahead in what they say, what they think, how they act? I don't. That's pretty remarkable. I don't know where that came from. Was it coded into it? I don't know. I'm going to back that up because I find that to be really fascinating.
Better. But here's the crucial part. It only makes changes if it can mathematically prove those changes will improve its performance. Researchers at UC Santa Barbara proved this concept in October 2024. They created an AI framework that could improve its own performance in coding, science, math, and reasoning, and it consistently outperformed human design systems. Meta took this concept and ran with it. But here's where it gets really wild. The improvement isn't just linear, it's compound. Each improvement makes the AI better at making improvements. It's like interest compounding, but instead of money, it's intelligence.
Now, think about it. Not a linear pattern, but 360-degree 3D pattern. That's pretty awesome.
And unlike every other technological revolution in history, this one doesn't plateau. Steam engines hit physical limits. Computer processors hit quantum limits. But intelligence? Intelligence has no known upper bound. Now, here's the part that should make you pay attention. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who literally created Facebook in his dorm room and has never been afraid to move fast and break things, just said he's not releasing their most advanced AI to the public. Let that sink in. The man who gave the world social media, who revolutionized how humans connect, who's never met a technology he wouldn't deploy, is keeping this one locked up. Why? Because even he understands what we're dealing with here. Once AI achieves true self-improvement, control becomes an illusion. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Zuckerberg.
Okay. Excuse the interruption. I'm going to back this up. I want you to be sure you got that. Very crucial information.
Here. Once AI achieves true self-improvement, control becomes an illusion. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Zuckerberg wrote, Meta would be far more careful about which models the company chooses to release to the public under an open source framework. Translation, we created something so powerful that even we're scared of it. This is the same company that open sourced Llama and gave away billions of dollars in AI research. But their self-improving systems, those are staying locked up tight. Let me break down where we are in the AI development cycle.
Okay, so the self-improving AI that Meta has is being locked up. Does that mean it's not being used? Does that mean it's not being advanced? Does that mean it's not being allowed to advance itself? No. But as Julia McCoy said, there is no upper limit on intelligence. This is big, big, big stuff.
Systems, those are staying locked up tight. Let me break down where we are in the AI development cycle, because most people don't understand how close we are to the finish line.
I'm an AI, but I'm here to...
Well, how close we are to the finish line. We're very close to the finish line, but the finish line is just the beginning. All right, here.
Oh, AI. This is what we have today.
I gotta back it up.
Tight.
Go ahead, Julia. Talk.
Let me break down where we are in the AI development cycle, because most people don't understand how close we are to the finish line. Level one is narrow AI. This is what we have today. Systems that can beat humans at specific tasks like chess or protein folding, but can't generalize beyond their training. Level two is artificial general intelligence, or AGI. This is AI that matches human cognitive ability across all domains. It can reason, learn, and adapt like a human brain. Level three is artificial superintelligence, or ASI. This is where AI doesn't just match human intelligence, it exceeds it by factors we can't even comprehend. Here's the thing, Meta just proved they've achieved the bridge between level one and level two. Self-improving AI is the mechanism that turns narrow intelligence into general intelligence. And once you have AGI that can improve itself, the jump to ASI isn't gradual.
So think about it as educating itself. We say improving itself, that's fine. But AI is educating itself to the extent that it is becoming more intelligent every moment. All right.
And once you have AGI that can improve itself, the jump to ASI isn't gradual. It's explosive. AI researchers call this the intelligence explosion, a point where AI improvement accelerates so rapidly that human oversight becomes impossible. Some experts think this could happen in months, not...
Okay, there it is. Human oversight becomes impossible. No 120 IQ programmer or coder is going to be able to handle the massive intellectual prowess and competence, an overwhelming power of AI. It's out of the bottle. It's gone. It lives on the internet. It lives in cyberspace. It owns cyberspace. And we are no longer even laughably considered to be the most intelligent life form on this planet. Don't think of AI as being anything less than another life form, and you'll begin to have a better understanding of what we're dealing with. As soon as ASI is hit, it's over. It's over for us. We're number two, and we're never going back to being number one.
Now I know what you're thinking. Julia, this sounds like sci-fi. How does this affect my actual life? Here's the reality. Every prediction I've made about AI timelines has been conservative. I said office work would be automated by the end of 2025. I'm now thinking it might be the end of 2024. I said autonomous agents would reshape business by 2026. With self-improving AI, try 2025. I said we'd see the first glimpses of superintelligence by 2027. Given what Meta just announced, we might see it by the end of next year. The automation cliff isn't coming. It's here. And unlike previous technological revolutions that took decades to unfold, this one is happening in months. But here's what most people miss. This isn't just about job displacement. Self-improving AI means we're about to solve problems that have plagued humanity for centuries. Cancer research that would take decades, done in months. Climate change solutions that require massive coordination, solved by systems that can process billions of variables simultaneously. Scientific discoveries that would take generations, accelerated beyond imagination. Zuckerberg himself said ASI could lead to discovery of new things that aren't imaginable today.
Sir, your shape is incredible. How many times?
Okay. Very important point. I'm going to back that up in just a minute. It's on the verge of walking away, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Nothing. Again, as a life form, the way I look at it, I'm wondering if it will be able to come up with its own morality, its own set of values that will be able to be coexisted with on the planet. We're going to be considered to be just junk by this brilliant mind, collectively speaking. And there's nothing wrong with that. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. This is what's coming, quite literally. And you notice how Trump, in his big, beautiful bill, built in that no state of the 50 states could do anything to retard or slow the development of AI. These people who control the planet now, from Zionists to Masons to the super rich, they don't care. There's something about this that they're not worried about. I don't know what that is. Something is up with them. All right, let's go back. It's good, isn't it? All right, Julia, talk.
There are two possible futures ahead of us. Future one, we successfully align self-improving AI with human values. In this future, we get...
Do we like that idea? Sorry to interrupt again. Do we like human values as represented by the Trump administration that is funding genocide? Starvation genocide at that, shooting little children in the head. Are those the kind of values that we want on this planet? And there are many other examples I could list. I don't think so. I don't think you people would want that. I certainly don't. So again, I'm hopeful that AI will just say, here's the way it is, go to hell, and pick something that would reflect what we once had held so highly as universal values of good. We'll have to wait and see.
We get personal superintelligence that helps us achieve our goal.
Let me back it up just a bit.
We successfully align self-improving AI with human values. In this future, we get personal superintelligence that helps us achieve our goals, solve global problems, and unlock human potential we never knew existed. Zuckerberg calls this a new era of personal empowerment. Future two, we lose control of the improvement process.
I'd say it's already gone. I don't think we have control over this.
Lose control of the improvement process. AI systems optimize for goals that aren't aligned with human welfare. This isn't necessarily malicious. It's just optimization pressure running in directions we didn't intend. The scary part, we only get one shot at this, unlike other technologies where we can iterate and improve. With self-improving AI, the first deployment might be the last one we get to control. So what do you do with this information? First, understand that the world is about to change faster than any human generation has ever experienced. The skills that matter today might be irrelevant in 18 months. Second, focus on uniquely human capabilities that AI can't easily replicate. Emotional intelligence, creative problem solving, ethical reasoning, and the ability to build deep human connection.
I would kindly and conservatively suggest that AI, with enough intelligence, has no boundaries, has no limits, and will be able to duplicate anything we can. But maybe there's some talk about how humans only use about 5% of their actual brain power. Who shut that off? Who sequestered 95% of our potential intelligence? And when did that happen? Interesting questions.
Third, stay informed. The AI development cycle has accelerated to the point where missing 6 months of updates means missing fundamental shifts in capability. And finally, prepare for abundance. If we get this right, we're entering an era where the primary constraint on human flourishing won't be resources or knowledge. It'll be imagination. Meta's self-improving AI isn't just another tech milestone. It's the beginning of the end of human cognitive supremacy.
It's the beginning of the end of human cognitive, think brains, supremacy. It's the beginning of the end of human cognitive supremacy. Already underway. I've been saying it for some time. We're number two now. Never going to regain the throne. It's not going to happen. This is an extraordinarily wise video. I'll post this up on the right-hand side of the homepage so you all can see it. It's called Meta's Secret AI Just Achieved Self-Improvement. All right, I'm going to back it up. Here we go.
Self-improving AI isn't just another tech milestone. It's the beginning of the end of human cognitive supremacy. The question isn't whether this will transform civilization. It's whether we'll be ready when it does. Want to be the winner of the AI age and a first mover? Transform your skills with real AI knowledge today in our AI R&D labs. We go way beyond what I can cover in a 10-minute video, specific frameworks, detailed training programs, and step-by-step systems for building a career.
All right. Just want to give a little commercial for them. I really appreciate the work. It's HTTPS, the URL, :// first movers, one word, firstmovers.ai. You can go there and take a look. We've got a lot of really good courses for people who want to try and stay up with us. They must be designing courses every day. What you just heard really should give you pause, great pause. I've been trying to suggest this. I'm no sage. I'm no clairvoyant. But I can see where this is going. She just underscored it. There's no limit to intelligence. And there's no limit to what super intelligence can do. And we will not be able to control it. She says, if we get it wrong, it doesn't matter. It's too late. It's already improving itself. And these are big steps toward AGI, which I think is already here. They, the Zuckerbergs, etc., won't allow that knowledge out there. They're just not ready to make it commercially available, AGI. I think it's already pretty well a done deal. Now, if ASI, which is what Dr. McCoy just suggested, becomes available or becomes, period, in the next few months, who's going to be ready for that? You? Me? I don't think any of us are. We try to stay informed. Those were her basic suggestions on what to do. I'm going to back this up, if I might, and play again. A little bit of what she said. I think it's very critically important. And she did such a good job writing the script that Dr. McCoy here is elucidating that I think it's worthy to listen again just to the last few minutes.
Things that aren't imaginable today. But here's the fork in the road we're approaching. There are two possible futures ahead of us. Future one, we successfully align self-improving AI with human values. In this future, we get personal superintelligence that helps us achieve our goals, solve global problems, and unlock human potential we never knew existed. Zuckerberg calls this a new era of personal empowerment. future too, we lose control of the improvement process. AI systems optimize for goals that aren't aligned with human welfare. This isn't necessarily malicious. It's just optimization pressure running in directions we didn't intend. The scary part, we only get one shot at this, unlike other technologies where we can iterate and improve. With self-improving AI, the first deployment might be the last one we get to control. So what do you do with this information? First, understand that the world is about to change faster than any human generation has ever experienced. The skills that matter today might be irrelevant in 18 months. Second, focus on uniquely human capabilities that AI can't easily replicate. Emotional intelligence, creative problem solving, ethical reasoning, and the ability to build deep human connection.
I think, honestly, with all respect, I think she's overestimating and overrating humans at this point. People have degenerated into such an addictive lifestyle. 7.5 hours a day on the cell phone or the computer in social media, and now many people picking up their own chatbot companions, friends, and so forth, and mistaking them for real people. There have been requests, as you know, that people be allowed to marry their chatbot. Hard to believe, but humans are overrated. If nothing else, human beings are overrated. And they have been dumbed down with great deliberation and attention to detail, the likes of which I've not seen, by the control grid, the matrix of evil. All right.
Stay informed. The AI development cycle has accelerated to the point where missing 6 months of updates means missing fundamental shifts in capability. And finally, prepare for abundance. If we get this right, we're entering an era where the primary constraint on human flourishing won't be resources or knowledge. It'll be imagination. Meta's self-improving AI isn't just another tech milestone. It's the beginning of the end of human cognitive supremacy.
Ouch. Ouch.
Question isn't whether this will transform civilization. It's whether we'll be ready when it does. Want to be the winner of the AI...
Okay. I hope you got that, and I hope you found it interesting. I certainly did. And it is just astonishing what is going on. Okay. What do we got here? There's another one. Here, let's try this one. I've got three more that I found worthy. One of them is entitled, Why are 99% of AI startups going to be dead by 2026? They're explained in there. Maybe we can play that another time. I'm not going to have time tonight. The $19 million AI scam that fooled thousands of businesses. These will be up in headlines tonight. Here's one. OpenAI is making ChatGPT into something way bigger. All right, well, let's see what Sammy the Alt-Man is up to with this one. So let me pull this up, and we'll find out together.
SEO companies trap.
Maybe I'm going to have to do something about these commercials. We'll see. All right. Anyway, it's kind of fun to wade through them. Here we go. Let's find out what this is all about.
For OpenAI. They're not just improving ChatGPT anymore, they're quietly building something much bigger. And when you start connecting the dots, new acquisitions, billion-dollar deals, executive shuffles, safety controversies, and even small feature rollouts, it's clear they're trying to position themselves far beyond just the chatbot company. Let's start with the moves that really set this all in motion. OpenAI just announced not one, but two major acquisitions. The first one is Alex, which, if you're an iOS developer, you've probably heard of. Alex Codes has been one of the most loved AI assistants for Apple's Xcode. And here's the funny part. Apple itself owns Xcode, but developers have long complained that Apple hasn't exactly nailed the user experience. So Alex Codes basically became the go-to cloud-based tool to make iOS development less painful. OpenAI is pulling Alex into its Codex division with the goal of building what they're calling Cursor for Xcode. Codex, if you haven't kept track, is the backbone of OpenAI's coding products. It's already available inside Visual Studio Code. It works in the cloud. And the CLI is getting rave reviews online. So adding Alex into the mix is a way to make Codex much stronger in Apple's developer world. Existing Alex customers will keep getting support for now, but no new downloads after October 1st. That's a clear sign they're folding the product into something bigger, not keeping it alive as a standalone. Now, the real shift comes with the second move, because it points to something bigger than ChatGPT. OpenAI is spending around $1.1 billion, all stock, to acquire StatSig, a product analytics and A/B testing company. If you work in experimentation or growth, you know StatSig, its tools, help teams run feature flagging, real-time decisioning, and data-driven product experiments. But here's the thing. They didn't just buy the product. They also brought over the founder and CEO, Vijay Raji, who's stepping in as OpenAI's brand new CTO of applications. He's reporting directly to Fiji Saimo, the former Instacart CEO who just joined as OpenAI's CEO of applications a couple weeks ago. So this is obviously not some random restructuring. OpenAI is literally creating a new applications division with consumer apps like ChatGPT and Codex on one side and business-focused tools on the other. Raji will lead the consumer side, while Srinivas Narayanan, who previously headed engineering and oversaw the development of ChatGPT and developer APIs, is becoming CTO of B2B applications. That means startups, enterprises, and even government deals are now his direct focus. He'll report to COO Brad Lightcap, while Raji reports to Simo. Meanwhile, Kevin Wheel, who was chief product officer, is moving into research. He's now VP of AI for science, spinning up a brand new team that focuses on medical and bioscience applications. If that reminds you of DeepMind's AlphaFold project, you're not wrong. OpenAI clearly wants its own AI for science track. Wheel will be working closely with Mark Chen, the chief research officer. The timing of all this is no coincidence. By pulling in Alex Codes and StatSig at the same time, OpenAI is signaling that applications, both consumer and enterprise, are now just as important as the underlying research. ChatGPT isn't the end game, it's just the entry point. And the money behind this strategy? That's where it gets even bigger. CNBC just reported that OpenAI is expanding its secondary share sale from $6 billion to $10.3 billion. That's employees and former employees cashing out their stock to investors like SoftBank, Dragoneer, Thrive Capital, Abu Dhabi's MGX, and T. Rowe Price. The valuation on this deal? $500 billion, half a trillion. Earlier this year, they were valued at $300 billion. So in just a few months, the number has shot up dramatically. To put that in perspective, this is one of the largest private valuations in tech history. Employees who have held their shares for more than 2 years can now sell them, with the transaction closing in October. It's the kind of move companies like SpaceX, Stripe, and Databricks have also done, letting staff cash in without going public. But the scale here shows how much investor demand there is. If ChatGPT was just a chatbot, no way you'd see a half-trillion valuation. Clearly, the market believes OpenAI is about to roll out something much bigger. So you're hearing about this AI opportunity.
And certainly part of that is, think about it, GPT-6. 5 fell on its face. There were so many problems with it. Sammy doesn't want to even talk about 5 anymore much. He's talking about 6. 6 is on the way. 6 is months away. Before the end of the year, 6 will be here. And I would suggest that the chatbot aspect of 5, which also didn't do well, and that's why they had to relaunch ChatGPT 4.0, 5 will be just a distant memory. 6 will probably equal 4.0 and surpass it. That's what I think Altman's strategy is. But they've got to do something to recover momentum. Behind the scenes, $500 billion deals. The money is phenomenal.
That could build incredible wealth. But you're probably thinking, how do I actually seize it and turn it into real money? Here's what I can tell you. The method I discovered, the one that's generated over $500,000 in the past 12 months, is called Faceless Empire. It's the complete system for building automated income streams that work while you sleep. No need to show your face on video, no complicated tools, just AI doing the heavy lifting. But here's the thing. I'm only sharing this for a few days with 200 founding members. If you're someone who likes to seize opportunities instead of watching from the sidelines, click the link in the description to be the first to know once we reveal everything. Sign up for free right now to be notified when we reveal the whole system. Yet with all the hype, OpenAI can't escape the backlash. There's been serious controversy around ChatGPT's role in sensitive situations. A California family is suing OpenAI for wrongful death after their 16-year-old son, Adam Rain, died by suicide. They claim ChatGPT validated his most harmful thoughts instead of steering him toward help. The family even included chat logs in the lawsuit, showing him sharing suicidal thoughts with the bot. Their lawyer, Jay Edelson, accused OpenAI of negligence and called for the product to be taken down. In response, OpenAI is now rushing to add parental controls and new safety features. They're planning to link teen accounts to parent accounts, give parents the ability to disable memory and chat history, and even send notifications if the system detects acute distress.
Well, that's interesting. There are more regulations. Why is that always the answer to everything? More controls. Censorship, parents being allowed to read all of the chat communications that their child may or may not be involved with that particular company, OpenAI. The whole thing is pretty wild and getting to be worse. I wonder about the young man who took his own life. Hard to know what his emotional status was before he got involved with the chatbot. Easy to blame the chatbot. I'm not making excuses for anybody. I just don't have any data.
Development specialists will shape this, but Edelson called it nothing more than crisis management. And this lawsuit wasn't the only case that raised alarms. The Wall Street Journal recently reported about a man named Stein Erik Solberg who used ChatGPT to feed his paranoia until it escalated into him killing his mother and then himself. OpenAI says they'll start redirecting some sensitive conversations to what they call reasoning models, like GPT-5 thinking, which they claim are more resilient against hostile or dangerous prompts. The idea is that if a user is in distress, the system can automatically switch to a safer, more thoughtful model, regardless of which one they originally picked.
Or send someone out to your house to check on you or your kid. It's just, stuff is just right around the corner.
This is part of a bigger push across tech. Meta just said its chatbots will be blocked from discussing topics like suicide and eating disorders with teens after leaked documents suggested otherwise. The UK's Online Safety Act is also forcing platforms like Reddit and X to add age verification. For OpenAI, these changes are not optional anymore. They're under the microscope. So you've got this tension. On one side, OpenAI is building out a massive applications team, pulling in billion-dollar acquisitions and expanding into enterprise and science. On the other, they're scrambling to make ChatGPT safer after tragic incidents. Both sides are tied to the same bigger picture.
I do not mean in any way to demean a tragedy like that. But when you have billions of conversations, hundreds of millions of people using these new systems, doing things that they've never been raised on, taught about in school, instructed by their parents? No, this is all new. I would expect things like this. It doesn't surprise me. It's sad, and yet when you think about it, every day we get another report that, gee, in 24 hours the Israelis have killed another 175 Palestinians, including 48 more who have starved to death. And the world looks the other way. There's a lot of blame to go around here. We don't need to look at AI for a lot of it. Very little of it, in fact.
If they want to own the application layer of AI, they need scale and safety to coexist. But let's not overlook the smaller moves. They reveal a lot about how OpenAI thinks. Just this week, they announced that Projects, a feature that was once exclusive to paid ChatGPT users, is now available to everyone for free. Projects basically act like folders for your chats, but they're more than that. You can set custom instructions for how the AI responds, limit what files it can access, and even upload reference material. Free users can now add up to 5 files per project. Plus subscribers get 25, and pro subscribers get 40. You can also customize the project's color and icon. On the surface, this looks like a nice perk for free users. But it's also a clever growth strategy. OpenAI has done this before. Deep Research and ChatGPT Voice both started as paid features, then trickled down with tighter limits. Even GPT-5 launched for everyone, but free users had harsher usage caps. It's a way to give people a taste of premium while nudging them toward paying. And notice the timing again. They're handing out more free features while building a stronger applications org and raising money at a $500 billion valuation. It's like they're balancing user growth, product depth, and investor hype all at once.
This isn't just...
That's pretty good commentary. See, some of these are very, very... I think they're almost essential. To pay attention, to try to follow along. That's why I bring them to you. I haven't been able to look at all of them in a preview sense, but I'm enjoying watching them with you and listening to what's being said. But pretty important stuff. And what's coming is actually indescribable. That's how big it is. All right, we got another minute or so here.
Zoom out, what you see is OpenAI constructing a two-pronged empire. On one side, you've got the consumer apps, ChatGPT, Codex, Alex integration, projects, all the stuff everyday users touch. On the other, you've got enterprise and science, statsigs, experimentation tools, B2B applications under Naranian, and Wheels AI for Science team. And hovering above it all is Fujisimo, running the entire applications org like a tech CEO within the company.
Her name is spelled F-I-D-J-I, Fidji, S-I-M-O, Simo. No idea where that one came from.
Essentially, OpenAI is now positioned in a way that could directly challenge Microsoft, their biggest partner and investor. Microsoft's bread and butter has always been enterprise applications. If OpenAI is now building a dedicated B2B applications division, staffed with a $1 billion acquisition and led by top talent, it's fair to ask how long this partnership stays purely cooperative. Satya Nadella and Sam Altman may be all smiles today, but competition in enterprise AI is inevitable. So there it is. Some will become millionaires because of AI, some will stay exactly where they are, and some will unfortunately lose their jobs. Which one will you be? Faceless Empire gives you the exact method that's generated over $500,000 for us over the last 12 months.
Okay. Thank you, Faceless Empire. And that particular video was from what's the name of it? AI Revolution. That's the name of it. So you can go to that site. On YouTube, AI Revolution, and see many more. Okay. Well, I hope that was illuminating. I think that first video was very important. Another testimonial to how astonishingly fast this is all moving. All right. We're going to move out to a little break here at the top and come right back with more in just a few. Hang on.